and welcome to the 8th episode of TuneCast. I am TFD1 Mike, and I'm joined by Kevin Bosque Dog Thompson. Hello.
How's it going?
It's going. How are you?
I'm good.
Yes. We are going to be covering Mask today, and I absolutely loved this show when I was younger. I loved watching this show. It was really cool. I actually had some of the toys, which we'll be talking about later, but just want to let everybody know that our coverage on Mask is going to be severely, severely lacking because, number one, there are no DVDs here in the U.S. Number two, there really is no behind-the-scenes information anywhere. Neither one of us could find, like, anyone that we could recognize, like Tom Ruger or, you know, somebody like that we've already talked about previously on other episodes of TuneCast. As far as who created the show, blah, 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 blah. So even though I love this cartoon, it's just not working. It's just not working out.
But you can't have a TuneCast without it, so we
gotta
do it.
Oh, hell no. No. And I don't know, I'll mention this in a minute, but, I don't know how many people I don't know how many people actually listened to episode 7 when I did my little tease, but I love this intro. I'm not going to play the whole thing, I'm just going to play the tease that I played, but I love this. I'm sorry, if that doesn't get people pumped to watch a cartoon, I don't know what does.
Exactly.
I mean, hell, that's better than Thundercats and Silverhawks combined.
Yeah, I got some more to say a little bit later on that one.
We've had some, questionable, forum stuff going on with the schedule of episodes, and I just want to bring that up. I didn't want to bring it up on my other podcast, since it's specifically for TuneCast. Last week, after we posted, episode 7, Silverhawks, and, you know, I don't care. I mean, it's on the forums. People can go read it. Forum member Justice Maximus basically called us out saying that why are we covering shows that are basically just filler stuff. And I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, now this is my own opinion, this is what I thought to myself, this is not what I said to him in replies to him on the forums, but, you know, I'm sorry, if people don't like my candidness, then you don't have to listen to this show. But the first thing I thought when I read that, I'm like, you motherfucker. First of all, this is free weekly content. You don't have to listen to it right away. You don't have to listen to every episode as long as you listen to the ones you like. You know, there's going to be some episodes that we cover that either people don't know or people don't want to listen to. But the whole point of podcasting on a certain topic is that you maybe get people to listen to it or maybe go, you know, get people to go out and buy the DVDs. I was in Best Buy today, and if it wasn't for the $40 price tag on the Silverhawks set, I almost got it. Fucking $40, my ass. Shit ain't worth $40 for nothing.
And another, I mean, you just gotta realize that it's TuneCast, it's about cartoons, and we're gonna be selecting from the ones that we remember, the ones we liked, the ones we grew up popular. Yeah, so I mean, you know, there might be some that you like more than I do, there might be some that I like that you don't like, but you know, that's where we're coming from, and by doing that and by getting the ones that both Mike and I like, we should be covering a pretty broad cross section of cartoons, so there should be a little bit of something for everybody.
I mean, you know,
you can choose the ones you don't want to listen to.
If
it's fine.
If people had listened to the episode 0, you should always. I mean, we've only been doing this for a couple of months now. It started back in June, I believe, is when we started. Okay. You know, this podcast isn't like 2 or 3 years old that has 50, 60, 70, 100, 200 episodes in. If you're going to listen to a podcast, start from the beginning. Start from episode 0. Find out what the show is about. You know, he said, well, why aren't you covering Batman the Animated Series? Why aren't you covering Battle for the Planets? Why aren't you covering this, that, and the other thing? I specifically said, I believe I said this in episode 0, the reason why I'm not covering any of the DC animated cartoons right now is because my friends over at Earth2.net and World's Finest Podcast are doing that in depth. They are going through every single show and every single episode. And I don't want to step on what they're doing. I love that show. I love the way Michael David Sims and James Doe do their show, and they put in a lot of insight and a lot of work into that show, and I'm not going to sit here and talk over top of that. You know, down the line, we may do a DC Animated Overall episode, you know, going over what our favorite cartoons from that, you know, from that are, maybe, but we're not going to go into an in-depth thing on each DC Animated show. The whole point of Tooncast is cartoons we grew up with between... I mean, the timeline's kind of constrained, but nothing past 1999. The only difference is, if we did do a DC Animated show, a DC Animated Universe coverage, is that we would have to cover Justice League and all that stuff, and yes, I know that's past the timeline, but that would be the only exception that I would make, as far as that goes.
And you gotta take into consideration that the schedule is always, you know, it's ever-changing. And,
yeah.
You know, we've drawn it out so far. It's just because something's not listed doesn't mean that we won't necessarily cover it. And I think the other thing that you, a good point that you made right away in episode 02 is if you are looking for anime stuff, you're not going to find it here.
That's the other thing that, he's saying Battle for the Planets and it's anime. First of all, when I was a kid, cartoons were cartoons. I didn't know a difference. I mean, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old kid. I didn't know the difference between what an actual animation cartoon was and anime. I never heard of anime, and I'm sorry for all those people that grew up in the 90s that don't know. I mean, that, you know, were born in the 90s and you know, are growing up now that don't know what real cartoons are. I'm not dissing anime. That's fine. I even pointed that out to him. I said, there are tons of anime podcasts on iTunes. I even gave him a link to Earth2.net's Animazing podcast with Kellen Scrivens. That was the other reason why, besides the fact that I have no knowledge of anime, it's the other reason why I wasn't going to do anime in Tooncast. It's Tooncast, meaning cartoons. He goes on to say, well, what about Cops? How come Cops isn't on the list? And I said, refer to the first page of this thread. There's a post that I made that adds to the schedule. Cops is episode 59. I'm sorry that it's so far away, you know, but when I first made the schedule, it was just me doing it because my other co-host at the time, who had wanted to originally do the show with me, backed out. So I was going on my own stuff as far as what I watched as a kid. And I'm sorry, I never really watched Cops. I don't have anything against the show. I don't really remember the show. And if it's not something I remember, it wasn't something that I was going to put on the list. And you cannot call any of these cartoons that we've covered so far filler.
If you're going to compare it to Battle of the Planets and Cops. Now, I love Cops. I own the DVDs. I mean, that's one of the reasons why it is probably on the schedule now. But but you can't compare Cops and Battle of the Planets to Thundercats, Silverhawks, you know, some of the ones that we've done so far, there's not even a comparison there. If any of its fillers, Battle of the Planets and Cops are more of a filler than Silverhawks and Thundercats.
Well, you know, and Steve, my co-founder of Geekcast Radio, you know, he pointed out that's sometimes a problem with posting the schedule that you're going to do. You're going to get people complaining or whatever else. I'm all for suggestions, but there was a post that Justice Maximus had made that said, well, I have to go to work now. When I come back, I want to see a new schedule with better shows. And the first thought that I had in my head was, you motherfucker, what the fuck is wrong with you? You cannot demand somebody to make a better schedule. You know,
offer suggestions. If you offer something that's in our time frame, something we've just overlooked or whatever, you know, we probably put it in there, but go about it the right way.
And then he goes on about how, Care Bears and Gummy Bears and everything else, saying that those are girly shows. I can understand not covering, you know, Strawberry Shortcake and stuff like that, because those are for girls, and we obviously did not watch those. I'm sorry, I watched both Care Bears and Gummy Bears.
And I had a sister, so I watched some of the other stuff, and we're not trying to be sexist here.
No. I mean, you know, I want everybody to listen to the show. I could care less, but, you know, at the same time, we are males. In our, you know, mid to late 20s, holy fuck, I'm almost 30. Who grew up in the 80s, who grew up with Transformers and Mask and Thundercats and fucking Silverhawks and He-Man and She-Ra and all that stuff. So it's basically, it's for you, the listeners, to listen to it, but it's basically for us to be able to talk about it. That's basically what it is, because we're reliving our memories. And if that, you know, makes you have a memory of when you were a kid, that's fine. Suggestions are great. But you have to word them saying, hey, you know, what about this, this, or this? Or, you know, can you guys cover this eventually? Don't sit there and write a statement saying, I demand a better schedule, because that's just going to make us say, fuck you, and cover whatever the hell we fucking want to.
That actually reminds me of something else I had going on this week, which is kind of off topic, but the same thought process.
The TFW tournament?
No. doing the behind the voice actors and the voice compares. I had kind of gotten away from doing some of the voice compares because I'd gotten into adding a bunch of shows, adding a bunch of theme songs, stuff like that. But there is a page that you can offer suggestions as to characters that you want new voice compares to be of.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys came on there, I'm assuming it was a guy by the way he was talking, and he's demanding that we have this voice compare and this voice compare and do this character and this character, and I flat out told him, I'm like, look, there's only about, I don't know how many technically, I think there's about three of us that do it.
Yeah.
I said, I just knocked you off the list of ever taking a request from you again just by the way that you asked.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you want something like that done, ask me nicely and I'll get to it. Like, you had made a mention that you would like to see some of the turtles up there.
I wanted to see was Donatello.
And guess what? Donatello, Leonardo, Raphael, and Michelangelo are all up there and done now.
Good, I'll have to go over there and look. I haven't been over there enough.
But the difference between you kind of just had mentioned it in passing, and I said, yeah, that's a good idea, and put it up there. This guy's saying, by the time I get home, I want to see this character, this character.
Exactly.
And I said, well, you're not going to see any of them now.
and that's the other thing. I mean, you know, I am the type of person that if somebody asks me about something, you know, it could go either way. It could go yes or no. But if somebody flat out demands something of me, fuck you. I'm sorry. Fuck you. You know. You know, that's just the way I feel about it. And I'm sorry if people don't like that. You know, I'm not trying to sound like a broken record here, but we're doing this because not only do we want people to listen, but it's because we want to talk about this stuff.
Exactly.
You know, so, anyway. Let's see, what else has been going on with me this week? Trying to remember everything after the venting. People are still setting off fireworks around my building, which is pissing me off. I've had to call the cops twice this weekend.
Once?
Yeah. People are just fucking dumb. I can understand, like, July 3rd to July 5th. Fine, whatever, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
It's July 19th, for Christ's sake.
Exactly.
You know.
You should be out of them by now, or you bought way too many.
Exactly, that's probably what it is. Probably what it is. Let's see, we had a whole bunch of releases. We actually had a double shot of TFG1. Episodes 22 and 23 are up. They went up Friday. Only have one more episode of that left, and I'm done with that podcast, which was actually, it was my very first podcast that I did. It was actually, it's funny. If I had originally stuck to the schedule and I didn't really say Steve and I didn't hit it off like we did as far as, you know, having common interests and, you know, having the same type of sense of humor and crap like that. As far as being friends, you know, none of these other shows probably would have happened. And TFG1 was actually supposed to go into like 2011. But because all these other ideas came up and I sped up the schedule and had a 24-20, well, with the six supplementals, it's 30 episodes. I had a 30-episode podcast done in 6 months.
Jeez.
So what's been going on with you this week?
Let's see. Well, like I just mentioned before, I've been doing a lot of work over at BehindTheVoiceActors.com. I mentioned the Turtles ones being up there, and also, I've been slowly but surely trying to make Frank Welker's entry over there a little bit more complete, which is impossible and never.
Dude, you're gonna be 99 years old. Mr. Welker's gonna be in his grave, and it's still not gonna be done.
But as of now, I have it up to 75 of the characters he's voiced that are posted there.
Out of the 600 million that he's done.
I have a huge list left to go through, but I'm getting the bigger ones first, hopefully. So I got a lot of those over there. You had mentioned TFW, the tournament's still going on. We're almost halfway through the first round. And then I got to mention because, and don't hate me for this, but I finally started to open and watch some of the Matrix of Leadership Transformers collection. I haven't watched any of the episodes or anything like that yet, but I have watched...
You smug son of a...
I have watched all the special features, and they're incredible. The voice actor, they have a panel of 8 voice actors doing a special feature on there with Frank Welker included as one of them, and it's amazing. And then also, I just got the G.I. Joe Foot Locker collection, and can I just say that the people that put that together, I haven't watched a single thing on any of the G.I. Joe yet, but the set itself, the Foot Locker it comes with, and everything, the whole design is just about flawless.
Yes.
Like, the Foot Locker is heavy duty. It comes with a jump drive dog tag thing that's with some stuff loaded on it, which is pretty cool. The way they did the cases with the DVDs is cool. Like, it's just a very well done set, and I can't wait to start watching some of that.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get that eventually. I mean, my goal is for this next paycheck, hopefully, is to get a new headset and to order the Matrix set. But, yeah, actually, speaking of which, Shout Factory, Dana over at Shout Factory sent Steve review copies of the Mass Device and the Season 1.1 set, which basically the Mass Device is the first 5 episodes that premiered the show, but it's also those episodes are also on the Season 1 set, so we may eventually give that away in a contest. I don't know when we might do that.
But for anybody that was thinking that there weren't enough special features just on that Season 1 set, I mean, when you get it all together, I mean, there's 3 discs worth of special features. It's not lacking in that category at all.
Oh, yeah.
And my other has nothing to do with this week, except for I have to make the statement that V8 Fusion is incredibly good. It's the juice drink that's got vegetables in it. I'm going off on a tangent here. This is my rant, though. I tried it so far. This week I've tried 4 different flavors. They're all incredible.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
I hate vegetables, so this is how I'm getting my vegetables now.
Oh, Lord.
It's really good. I'm drinking this one, the blueberry pomegranate, and I never thought I would drink something called that in my life.
Oh, Lord.
Have we covered enough random topics in the intro here?
Yeah, I think we have. You have anything else you want to bring up?
No, I'm good.
All right. We will be right. Well, no, we won't be right back. I'm trying to think. I'm always to the point now where I put shit in between clips now. I'm like, we'll be right back after these messages. No, we won't. Up next is the history lesson. All right. Up first is the history lesson. Take it away, Professor.
Hello, nerds. This is the abbreviated history lesson for Episode 8, in which we go back to 1985 for one of the best combination toy cartoon series of the 80s, Mask. Mask was a Deke and a Kenner production that aired in half-hour installments, 5 days a week in syndication, for a grand total of 75 episodes. It basically lasted 2 seasons, beginning in 1985 and ending in 1986. The series received a lot of favorable press coverage in 1985 because it was the first syndicated cartoon series to be closed captioned for the hearing impaired. The letters of the title stood for Mobile Armored Strike Command, a secret crime-fighting group headquartered in Central City and commandeered by Matt Tracker. Mask was so nicknamed because of the group's propensity for donning specially designed masks, enabling them to carry out their activities with the added advantage of extraordinary powers. For example, Matt Tracker wore a Spectrum mask, which gave him highly enhanced visual skills. Each episode opened with Tracker using talking computer to help him choose the best agents for the job at hand. The agents would then gather in the old mansion where the masks were kept. The masks would be installed mechanically, brought down to them, and then they would be off to battle the evil forces of Venom, which stood for the Vicious Evil Network of Mayhem. All right, so that's the premise, and let's get into the rest of the show. This has been the Professor, and class is dismissed.
Yes, it should, and I'm sure we'll note this later, but I didn't actually know what I mean, I knew Venom stood for something because Mask stood for something, but I wasn't really sure about that, but yeah.
Now you know, and knowing's half the battle.
Shut the fuck up.
Sorry, I just watched some of the old
games. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. All right. Well, we're going to go on to the general memories recollection segment. I remember watching this show. This show is so fucking cool. It is just so fucking cool. I actually had the tracker car. I don't remember what his car was called. I'm gonna have to look when we get down to the other segment. But it was so just the only thing that doesn't, you know, I was watching it earlier to remind myself on YouTube, and there's one episode where he uses it to stand on the flying doors. I'm sorry, a flying DeLorean with gull-wing doors?
That's exactly what I thought about when I saw that. Like, this looks like the DeLorean.
Yeah, exactly. It is just cool as hell. And it's like I've said, you know, I will say throughout this entire episode of Tooncast that, you know, the music, that theme song, it just always got me pumped up to watch this show. It was just so cool. So, what about you?
I didn't have the toys as a kid, but I do remember watching the show a lot. I remember, you know, a bunch of the characters, which we'll get into in a little bit. But my biggest memory when it comes to Mask was, I had one of my good friends growing up who lived about two houses away from me. He had a lot of the toys. I don't remember exactly which ones. I know he had the plane and the helicopter, and I think he had like the little Jeep thing or whatever. But I remember going to, whenever we were stuck doing stuff, we both had sisters that were older than us, and they'd be going to their, whatever it was, brownies or some school thing or whatever, and we would be drug along as little kids, and he would bring those toys, and I just remember, you know, being in the basement of wherever it was or being off on the side somewhere playing with the Mask toys, and I was like, these are incredible. But I did make up for it because I currently have the little action figure for both Miles Mayhem and Matt Tracker. So even though I never owned them as kids, I got two of them now.
And I'm sure we'll talk about this when we get to the toys section, but the coolest things about the figures themselves, not the vehicles, but the figures themselves, the helmets came off. You don't often see toys like that, though. You know, toys that have helmets or toys that have, you know, the best comparison I can say is any Batman figure. His cowl isn't going to come off to reveal he's Bruce Wayne when he's in the Batman suit. But with these, the helmets were a separate thing, and that was so cool. I always loved this cartoon and just having the toys themselves. I don't remember how many I actually had. I do remember having the Gullwing door car, though. But yeah, it was just awesome. I may actually start a petition to get it on DVD here. No, seriously.
Not a bad idea.
It's not something that should not be on DVD. It's something that definitely needs to be on DVD here in the U.S. Fucking Australian bastards. Anyway, so, yeah, I wish it was still on DVD. I'm glad there are some, you know, really good quality episodes on YouTube. So at least you can go back and watch those. Do you have any other general memories?
Nope.
Alrighty then. Alright, it is time for the Seeing Stars segment. You know, the characters in this were very, very cool. Every single one of them was very different. My only complaint about the script, Mr. Script Monkey over there, you didn't include the names of the vehicles. You're like, oh, it's a red Camaro and a semi-truck.
That's true. I didn't put the names in there.
Yeah, you should have. See? Bad researcher.
Bastard. That's because I don't remember the names of them. I always remember, oh, that was the one that went around in the semi-truck. That was awesome.
You didn't go over to YouTube and watch the episodes? Now who's not?
No, I did. I just don't remember. It's like the names of the vehicles don't stick with me. Was there one called Condor?
Yep.
Yeah. The names of the people stick with me. The names of the...
Condor, people. Rhino, Gator. Rhino was the big truck.
Okay.
Anyway, we're going to start with Matt Tracker, the leader of Mask, as well as multimillionaire philanthropist. He was one of the creators of the original Mask team in the comics, and the team was co-created by him along his teenage brother Andy and Miles Mayhem. Mayhem double-crosses Matt and causes the death of Andy when he steals some of the masks for his newly established Venom team. Now, I do have to say that I never read the Mask comics, so
Well, maybe we should have.
No, this is ToonCast.
No, I'm just saying maybe we should read the comics. It sounds like it's a little more, obviously, like all comics, a little more
more in depth,
realistic, and violent.
Yes, yes. Matt drove the red Camaro, and he also drove Rhino, which is the semi truck. I only watched like the first three episodes because there isn't that many episodes on YouTube for it. But
no, it's hard to get past about episode 5 on YouTube. It starts getting hard to find them.
Yeah, and I never saw him driving Rhino. We move on to Scott Tracker, the adopted son of Matt. His father raised him alone. He has a great mechanical skills and is always upgrading his robot sidekick, T-Bob, with some function.
That's got to be the worst name for any of the characters in the show, though. T-Bob.
I got up to, like, episode, like, the third part or the second part of episode 3, and I just wanted to fucking shoot Scott. I'm sorry, okay. I understand it's the 80s, and I know I'm going to go off on a tangent here, but I don't care. Take Spike Witwicky from Transformers. I love the fact that they're including a kid to be along giant-sized fucking robots. Yes, I know the robots could crush him, you know, within an inch of his life, but this kid, specifically almost every episode I watch, goes out and attempts to get himself in danger. At least Spike had the sense of, you know, he would go out and shit just happened to him. Yeah. You know, it wasn't something that he was trying to get in the way of.
I don't know what it says about myself, but I do remember watching the cartoon, and I always identified more with Scott than I did with any of the Witwickies, because for some reason, I guess I just identified with him, and I pictured his character for me brought me into the show, because he was the kid, I was the kid, you know, you're kind of like always the one that's left behind, or, you know, they get to do all the cool stuff while you're supposed to stay at home, and even though I don't agree with everything he does, like, it let me identify more with the cartoon from my viewpoint as a kid watching it, if yes. That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Next
even
up...
I would have broke T-Bob. Sorry.
Dude, I'd have taken a fucking blowtorch there, but I'd have taken a blowtorch to him and thrown him in a clothes dryer. Anyway, T-Bob, the cowardly robot sidekick of Scott, and can convert into a scooter. He was built by Scott. He likes making bad jokes and is easily frightened. According to the Fleetway comics, T-Bob was short for Thingamabob.
Which I didn't know.
Okay, yeah, that's not... No.
They should have called him Thingamabob then.
Yeah, well, kids' cartoon, so...
Yeah. You got Bruce Sato, which was the mechanical engineer and design specialist. Matt Tracker's kind of de facto second in command.
Yep.
He was of Japanese origin. His occupation was a toy designer, which you saw that a lot when they went to the little scenes where they were calling everybody into action.
Yep.
He often talks in Confucian riddles that only Matt seems to understand, and he also was one of the main drivers for Rhino.
Yeah, he actually is he's the main driver for Rhino pretty much all the time, unless something happens. Up next is Alex Sektor. He is the computer and communications expert and zoology specialist. Hails from Britain, occupation veterinarian, exotic pet shop owner, and as an action figure, Sektor originally came with Boulder Hill. Oh, the Boulder Hill playset, okay. He is the backup. He is the systems. Well, no, he's not a co-pilot. He's the systems commander for Rhino. Basically, if you ever watched Airwolf, he's basically Dominic Santini.
Gotcha. Which I didn't, so I'm just going to say gotcha.
Dusty Hayes, auto and marine stunt driver, all-terrain specialist, and tracking and demolition expert. He's a pizza cook. He drives the Jeep. What the hell's the Jeep's name? Shit. I don't remember. Gloria Baker, champion race car driver and black belt in Kung Fu. She is a sensei, a racer/sensei. She drives a Porsche. Brad Turner, expert hill climber, rock musician, motorcycle, helicopter pilot. Crap. I think that's Condor.
Okay, I got it.
I think that's Condor.
The Jeep was the Gator.
Yeah.
And the Porsche was Shark.
Yep.
And the motorcycle was Condor.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Hondo McLean, he's a weapons specialist, tactical strategist, he's a history teacher, and he drives
awesome.
A pickup truck. Oh, Christ.
That's awesome because I'm a history teacher.
Yes, I know.
I drive a pickup truck too, so that's awesome. I changed my name to Hondo. No, I'm not.
All these, I mean, other than Buddy Clutch Hawks, all these other ones I don't recognize.
Yeah, they didn't come in until the...
Very later. Yeah. Buddy Hawks, he's a master of disguise and intelligence expert. Occupation, he's a mechanic. As an action figure, Hawks originally came with the Boulder Hill playset. I might have had the Boulder Hill playset, but I'm not sure. I don't really remember. I'm not really sure, so... I think we're going to move on to the villains. Venom, which stands for something, whatever.
Vicious. I can't remember now.
Yeah, so you can't. I think it's like Vicious Evil Network of Mayhem or something.
Perfect.
Like
that's that. It.
Yeah. Miles Mayhem, the leader of Venom. In the comics, he betrayed the original mask team by killing Andy Tracker and stealing half the masks for evil purposes. In the cartoon, the origin of Venom is a lot less clear, although Mayhem's connections to Mask remain the same as in the comics, and that he co-created the organization, and has been speculated that his appearance was based off of Adolf Hitler. Holy crap.
Which, that doesn't... I have to argue against that, because he looks so much more like Stalin than Hitler. So, I don't know.
One Russian is as good as another.
Russians, Germans.
Russians, Germans. Oh, shit. Whatever.
We apologize to all the Russians and German listeners.
Yes.
But he was based off of one of those guys.
Yeah. And then you had Slyrax, a con artist in the comics. He has ambitions of replacing Miles as Venom leader.
Oh, we forgot to mention Miles' vehicle, Switchblade.
Yeah, Switchblade. Whatever. I wasn't really a fan of the Venom vehicles. I mean, I liked the Switchblade, but other than that, I wasn't a fan of the other
one. I liked Switchblade, and I liked, there was one other. Maybe it was Jackhammer. One of them, I don't remember which one it was, but one of them opened and something else shot out of it. I don't remember if that
was... See, I thought that was Condor.
Oh, maybe that's the one I'm thinking of. I love
it's
that.
It's the Jeep and then the boat shoots out of it.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, that's one of the mask vehicles.
Okay.
Cliff Dagger, demolitions expert and strongman. He drives a Ford Bronco.
That's Jackhammer.
Okay, well, whichever. And the rest of them, you know, again, they probably came in at the later end of the series, and I don't really...
I would just mention one of them, which is that first one, Vanessa Warfield. She kind of becomes the unofficial leader of the team by the beginning of the second season.
Yeah.
And is one of few agents besides Mayhem to pilot Switchblade. And so she was had a big role later on.
Yes. Wow. I didn't know Doug Stone did a majority of the voices. I mean, we're just going to go on to the cast really quick. He did Tracker, Hondo, Dusty Hayes, Bruce Sato, Boris Bushkin. Holy crap. There's another Russian. Nash Gorey, Bruno Shepard, Maximus Mayhem. Which Maximus Mayhem was the...
Twin brother.
Weak-willed twin brother of Miles. Go ahead.
I was just saying, Doug Stone, there. One thing about this voice cast, I know I'm kind of jumping the gun here, but they didn't do a lot of other work, either before or after Mask, with about two exceptions, and Doug Stone, the one we just mentioned, is one of them. He has done a ton of stuff in Japan. Not really much in the United States at all, but he's one of the two actors that does have a pretty lengthy, filmography or whatever you want to call it for voices, but mostly in Japan.
Yeah, when I first saw Doug Stone, I'm like, what, the country singer?
No.
And then you had Mark Halloran, Buddy Hawks. He played Ace Riker, Slyrax, Cliff Dagger, and Dwayne Kennedy. Brendan McCain, Alex Sector, Floyd Malloy, Miles Mayhem, whatever.
Jacques Lafleur.
Yeah, whatever. And Nevada Rushmore.
Which is a horrible name for a character, by the way. Nevada Rushmore.
Yeah, that's horrible.
You had Graham McKenna, which did Brad Turner, Calhoun Burns, Julio Lopez, and T-Bob. You had the only female. She did all the voices that were ever female in the show, but the most notable ones would be Gloria Baker, Vanessa Warfield, and, of course, the masked computer. But she also did all other females in the show, I believe. You have Brennan Thicke, which was the kid of the group who did Scott Tracker, of course. Yep. And the last one didn't have a huge role, but Brian George did Lester Sludge and Ali Bombay, which were both kind of came in towards the later part of the series. And he, even though he wasn't one of the main voice actors here, is easily the most credited person on the entire list. The stuff you've seen him one way or the other if you've watched just about anything. He was in like Robin Hood, Men in Tights. He was in Seinfeld. He's now I'm gonna try to kill myself thinking of who he played in Seinfeld because you would all the Seinfeld fans would know it.
Was he the soup Nazi?
He was Babu Bhatt.
Oh, okay.
But he's been in a ton of stuff. Most of them though have been as he's done a lot of video game voices, but he's also done a whole lot of just acting. Just as a if you saw a picture of him, you'd recognize him from TV. Is basically what I'm saying. But I do have to make a couple comments about the voice cast, especially when it seems like a juxtaposition here that we've done this right after Silverhawks and Thundercats, because Silverhawks and Thundercats are known for this over-emphatic, like, way, you know, over-the-top voice acting, and Mask is, like, the opposite of that. Like, yeah. Mask is very subtle, the voice acting is very much toned down. And it's weird for a cartoon to do that because usually you want all the craziness and the energy because the kids like that and, you know, it's not as technical. But I think, I don't know, part of me now likes the toned down voice acting, but another part made it not seem as much of a cartoon as I'm rewatching it. It seemed like there was a lot of slow parts and a lot of parts where I wanted more energy from the voice actors. I don't know if that has something to do with the fact that they didn't really do... These people didn't do a whole lot of voices in their career or what, but I prefer the Thundercats and the Silverhawks version of voice acting, I guess, in cartoons.
Yeah, I hadn't seen this in so long. Actually, I don't think I've seen it in probably since I was a kid, since 86, yeah. 87, which is a very long time. But, I remember how soft the voice acting was, and it was actually a breath of fresh air compared to, you know, Thundercats, Silverhawks, Transformers, He-Man, all that stuff, because you don't have people shouting at you. I mean, now.
Yeah.
I mean, then I probably was like, wait, how come I can't hear them?
That's what I'm saying. As I watch it now, it's nice, but back then, I think that was one reason why I don't remember the cartoon as much as I remember the toys. And it seems like on this cartoon, they purposefully, like, pumped up the volume on the music and the sound effects and everything else and brought down the speaking was almost like a undercurrent, if you will.
Well, you know, and I'll say it again throughout the entire show. The music was fucking awesome.
Yes.
So before we go on to the next segment, I am going to play my Assemble Mask feature. This is probably the only audio as far as, you know, the episode goes. The rest of it's probably going to be me, you know, punching audio at Kevin or whatever. So, but here is the Assemble Mask team. Maybe not.
As you're filling around there, I did forget to mention one thing, and that is, even though I'm kind of dissing the voice cast on this, Sharon Noble doing all the female voices is way better still than Lynn Lipton.
All right, we're going to go on to the next segment. I will play the audio in the next segment. Well, we had a little bit of a technical difficulty, but we are back with the actual show segment, and yes, I actually remembered it. Before we start, I am going to play the Assemble Mask clip, as I said in the other segment, so here it is.
Confirmation of enemy, Venom, recommended course of action, Assemble Mask.
Give me the best agents for this mission.
We got us a mission, T-Bob.
Personnel selected. Brad Turner, motorcycle and helicopter pilot, depot code name Condor. Bruce Sato, mechanical engineer, mechanical specialist, vehicle code name Rhino. Alex Sector, computer and communications expert, Rhino Systems commander. Hondo McLean, weapons specialist, tactical strategist, vehicle code name Firecracker. Dusty Hayes, auto and marine stunt driver, vehicle code name Gator. Buddy Hawks, master of disguise, intelligence expert, firecracker co-pilot.
So, yeah, and those were the ones from the very first episode, and those five people, with the exception of Gloria, were the main ones that were used all the time, for the most part.
Right, they always happen to pick the same agents. Oh, yes.
But, I mean, they all have the they all have different skills. You don't have to have different people each time, and, of course, you want to see the same vehicles. So that's pretty much all I have for Mask Audio outside of the intro theme, which people have already heard, and the outro theme, which people will hear at the end of this.
The intro theme, which people will then play again and again and again. Anyway,
they better.
go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say one thing I kind of forgot, and I'll jump in it because it's still kind of part of the regular show, is one thing that always got me, and I don't know, it's not that big a deal, but I love how they take these just random jobs for these people to have as, like, their side job, like pizza cook and, like, toy designer, and it just seems like the most random stuff that these people are doing, then they're turned into, like, these super agent Mission Impossible guys. I just love how it's just, you know, you wouldn't picture that. You picture, like, most shows to be like, oh, this guy was a doctor, and this guy was, a teacher, and this guy was a lawyer, but it's like pizza cook, toy designer.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but I do have to bring that up as well, because the first thing I thought was like, oh, cool, they have Knight Rider kind of like mask watches. Only problem is, as soon as the watch goes off, they drop whatever the hell they're doing and run. Go, and I'm like, wait.
I it's funny when the pizza guy does it because he just drops the dough on it. The teacher's watch goes off and he just leaves his class. Just leaves the class.
Yeah.
Nobody's watching it, he just takes off running.
Yeah, I'm like, how
does that work?
Yeah, exactly. How does that work? That makes
got to do good with your boss.
Yeah,
that
makes no sense. All right. So, the original series focused mainly on the vehicles and characters from the original 1985 toy line. More characters were introduced as the line expanded with a second wave in 1986. The format for the last season of the show featured a racing theme to correspond with the theme of the third wave of mask toys. The major difference from the first season is by the second, Venom agents knew the personal identities of Mask Team, whereas Venom did not know their identities during the first season. The second season lasted for only 10 episodes. Oh, that sucks. There is a storyline difference in the mini comic books which came with each toy. In the comics, Miles Mayhem knew the identity of Matt Tracker and had originally helped start the Mask Team and betrayed him later. This is very similar to the second series of the cartoon. Due to a short-lived nature and new format of the racing series, many characters from the first season were given reduced roles to establish the new cast members and their vehicles, or to reintroduce older characters with new masks and vehicles. Buddy Hawks began using the name Clutch and gained a more prominent role with Double Act partnership with Agent Boris the Tsar Bushkin. Matt Tracker and Miles Mayhem's rivalry remained strong, but the two usually only appeared in their own focus episodes. Other Venom operations against Mask agents were now exclusively handled by Vanessa Warfield. I'm sorry. That sucks. That sucks.
Yeah.
You know, I don't ever remember I don't think I ever remember watching those episodes.
I remember her, but I don't remember him. I don't remember Miles and Matt being kind of put on the back burner, but I do remember the chick that was in charge for a while.
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
The toy line's fourth and final wave went to one other variation, Split Seconds, in which the vehicles sold under the line would split for one hole into two different vehicles for a mask pilot and a clone holographic partner. But the cartoon was not renewed for the fourth wave. Besides, in the DC Comics series, the Mask Team is sponsored by an organization called the Peaceful Nations Alliance, or PNA. We're all about the acronyms in Mask. Their exact relationship is never explained. The liaison between the PNA and Mask is Dwayne Kennedy. Dwayne and the PNA did appear in the cartoon, although in a much more limited role in such episodes as The Rotex, which is on YouTube, and Assault on Liberty. It is never made clear what sort of criminal organization Venom is exactly. They were not the typical world-conquering villains, and their schemes mostly revolve around profiting from illegal activities and doing mercenary services. The comics tried to give them a more believable background. They appear to be the foot soldiers of an even higher organization called Contraworld. Like Mask and PNA, their relationship is not explained, nor are Contraworld's larger goals.
Contraworld? Is that like a new NES game?
It sounds like it. But basically with Mask, you have a combination of, for the most part, Transformers and G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
I mean, you have the two organizations battling each other, just like Joe and Cobra, and then you have the vehicles, which are basically transforming, and the Mask, which are kind of transforming the humans themselves. So it's kind of like a combination Transformers, G.I. Joe, a little Mission Impossible thrown in there. But it worked.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, I agree. And you know, I never any of these series now, like with this Thundercats, Transformers, He-Man, whatever. I can see similarities to other things, but I never could see similarities between them. But now that you actually point that out, I do agree.
But what made it cool though back then is it seemed like something completely different.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, nobody that watched Mask when they were watching it or who played with the toys was thinking this is, you know, they're trying to capitalize on what Transformers did and have stuff that has two different forms or have stuff that transforms. You didn't think that. You thought it was completely unique. It was its own thing when you were a kid.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was just awesome. All the shows that we've covered so far, for the most part, the exception of maybe A Pup Named Scooby-Doo and the Nintendo cartoons, all of them have, and pretty much all the 80s shows that we've covered so far, they all have competing toy lines.
Yes.
I mean, yes. It's just weird. I don't know.
I mean, I think the show was good, especially back then it was good. I remember it was fun to watch as a kid, but I think, all in all, the toys is what made Mask so memorable.
Oh, yeah.
I think without the toys, Mask is not the level that we look at it. Like, you know, I mean, basically you have G.I. Joe and Transformers, which are probably at the top. You got, like, your Thundercats and Silverhawks, kind of a second-tier type thing. I think Mask is right under that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it goes right under those four cartoons with maybe He-Man and a couple other ones up top. I mean, it's better than a lot of the other stuff that we had in the 80s. So, I mean, it was kind of like in that middle. It wasn't quite at the top, but yeah. It was definitely better than a lot of the other stuff we were watching.
Oh, yeah. So I think we're going to move on to the next segment because, I can't praise this show enough, even though I don't remember watching the later episodes. Just the first season itself, it was just so awesome. We're going to move on. All right, we're going to be moving on to the music segment. I did not know this until you obviously sent me the script, but the theme, even though it's an American theme song, it was written by Shuki Levy and Haim Saban, the two guys that brought Power Rangers over here from Japan, which was kind of cool.
No.
What? No, I mean, it was kind of cool to know that they were the ones
It's not cool that they brought Power Rangers over, too.
Shut up. I like Power Rangers, you bastard.
Oh, my God. Sorry.
What?
Nothing. Can't speak on that topic.
Yeah, we will eventually. Not on this show, but we will eventually.
I refuse to ever say that name again.
Power Rangers in
Worst
space.
Worst thing that ever happened to TV.
No, shut up. No. VR Troopers was the worst thing to ever happen on TV. Anyways, they also, both of these guys did all 75 episodes for the music.
And the music was great. I mean, there was a lot of dead spots in the show as far as dialogue goes where there's not really a lot being said, and thank God there was music instead.
Yeah, that's
because... And it was good music, so...
Oh, yeah.
That helped. And the theme song, I mean, you've already heard it in the intro. It's beyond great. I don't care what you think of the toys. I don't care what you think of the show. If you are a fan of 80s cartoons, you have to love this song. Otherwise, I question everything about you.
And not even, I mean, I love the song overall, but just the instrumental is what gets me. Not even the lyrics. I mean, the lyrics are fine to tell the story of the show, but this is just awesome. I mean, that is just so super cool, and the reason why I cut that short was because the lyrics were about to come in.
Yeah. I have to say, I know I've brought it up a ton of times, but I mean, when I made the CDs that I've referenced a couple of times, mm-hmm. I listened to over 400 theme songs. Like, mm-hmm. I listened to over 400 cartoon theme songs. This is by far an easy choice for the top... I didn't put it in number one, but it was easily top five. It was easily the top five out of 400 plus songs that I listened to. So, yeah. I mean, this is beyond good. There's only a few that I would even, and I even question whether the other ones are better. I think there's a group of five that are all excellent, and I struggle with which one's actually better, but that's a topic for another show.
And the other thing about the mask theme, not even the just the instrumental, just that beginning part, that is repeated over and over and over in the background of the show, or even in the foreground when the vehicles are going somewhere, you hear mm-hmm. that music, and that is just so awesome.
And the thing is, the music part is so awesome. That little part that we just listened to, like, that in itself is just epic and incredible. But the words and that part of the song is just equally as good.
Well, yeah, no, I mean,
like,
I'm
just saying, like, they're both so excellent. Like,
yeah.
That you could just have the music going throughout the show, and that was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
The theme song with the lyrics is awesome. Like, there's nothing bad about that theme song.
At least it wasn't Silverhawks.
Which was still better than...
No. I'm talking about the music.
Okay.
That bad 80s band voice thing that said Silverhawks at the end of everything. But, I mean, you know, the actual lyric. But, I mean, you know, I'll put it out there right now. I'll even put it on Twitter after we're done with the show. If anybody can find me an instrumental-only version of the Mask song, that would be awesome, because I would use that as my theme for every show I ever do.
And the thing is, like, I'm like you, I probably hadn't watched this show since 1986 or whatever, mm-hmm. unless I caught it on reruns like a year later or something like that. But I hadn't actually seen the show forever. But when I was listening to these theme songs, I immediately knew every word to this song.
Yep.
Like, it was that memorable that I knew everything that they were going to say.
Oh, yeah. It was just so, so awesome. So I think we're going to move on. I'm not really sure if there's anything I want to end on. I think we'll end with this.
Coincidence? I think not!
All right, well, we are going on to the legacy segment now. Go ahead, take it away.
Yeah, unfortunately, you can't see Mask in a lot of places, so couple places that you can see them, there are some VHS releases.
VHS, what are those?
Several episodes of the series were released by Kideo Video on VHS in the 80s with two episodes per tape. The racing season of the series would be distributed by Tempest Video, and several episodes were also released under the label Mask the Movie and Mask the Movie 2. No true direct-to-video or theatrical Mask movie was ever made, though.
Yes, and as far as the DVD releases, which I most likely will be writing up a petition after we're done recording this show, because the U.S. needs Mask DVDs, episodes have been released on DVD in three languages. English, Madman Entertainment released the complete series over two DVD collections for the first time in Australia and New Zealand. Collection 1 was released in November 2006. And contains episodes 1 through 38. Collection 2 was released in March of 2007. Contains episode 39 to 65, as well as episodes 1 to... So it does have them all. I didn't read that right. I didn't look at that correctly then. So it does... I may actually have to import those. Forget the petition. I'm just importing. Anyway, seriously. I think the U.S. does need their own... DVD set. Collection 1 was released in the UK in November 2007 by Genix Films, which contained the same amount of episodes as the Australian set. No North American release is planned at this time. Boo. Boo.
I want to know how the French divided this to make it 24 DVDs.
Oh, I'll have to look at that in a minute, but yeah, I had to go back for this because, yeah, I'm sorry, no North American release is set right now. You bastards. Okay, at least... Alright. Collection 2 has been on Play.com for a UK release since January 2009, but the item is not being shipped. While Amazon.co.uk still have the item is not yet available. No reason for this delay has been given. The French, the entire series has been released, divided across 24 DVDs and grouped into four by...
I go, how on God's name did you make that go over 24 DVDs?
Okay, well...
Transformers and G.I. Joe are 90-some episodes apiece, and they're 16 and 17 DVDs. This is 75 episodes.
Well, the only way that I could see that, and the only comparison I have, is the Knight Rider Complete Collection set, the big box set that was released last year. It has 24 single-sided discs. So Knight Rider had 84 episodes.
Okay.
So I can kind of see that. I don't know how that they would.
Except Knight Rider was also hour long episodes.
Yeah, but still. German three box sets have been released. The first two consist of 24 episodes each. Due to copyright problems, the third box set consists of only 23 episodes, bringing the total to 71. Okay, yeah, fuck you, Germany. The episodes left out are Star Chariot, Bad Vibrations, Vanishing Point, and The Riddle of Raven Master.
This begs to ask the question, though. This is an American series. Why? Can you get it in the UK, Australia, France, and Germany, but not in America?
I know, that makes no sense either. That could, you know, and I should go back and say we pretty much basically skipped over the behind-the-scenes segment this week because... There are no behind the scenes. I may have already said this in the actual show part, but there were no behind the scenes segments stuff. I don't know. So on to the comics.
The first mass comics to appear were three mini comics produced by Kenner and packaged with vehicles from the first line of toys in 1985. Following the success of the mass property, DC Comics picked up the rights and produced a four-part miniseries of comics in 86-87, soon followed by a regular series of comics that lasted 9 issues. Two mask annual comics were produced as well, one in 86 and one in 87.
Oh, that's cool. There were going on to the toy lines, there were five different lines of toys released. Series 1 was released in 1985, the original toys featuring many of the central characters from the television series. Series 2 was released in 86, a second line which expanded on the first by adding more characters from the series. The Adventure Packs, which was also in 86, a series of blister packs containing smaller vehicles, some of which were only available in Europe. Ugh, I wouldn't want them anyway. Series 3, 1987, the Series 3 toys were based on the second season of the television series, which took the form of racing series. I would pretty much only want the originals.
Just not even
reading this stuff aloud, just reading it, I would only want the Series 1 toys.
Right.
The fourth series was subtitled Split Seconds. Each set in the line included a vehicle which could split in two and two figures, one of which was a transparent version of the main figure intended to represent a hologram of the character. None of the toys in this line featured in the television series. Yeah, Series 4 sucks.
I want to say a couple things about the toys before we get to that last part there.
That's fine.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, and some people are going to disagree with me. But I would say if you take Transformers out, if you don't count Transformers, Mask may have had the best toy line in the 80s. I really think they do. I mean, it wasn't quite Transformers because it wasn't one figure transforming into another, but it gave you enough options. You could have you could have the little figure with the mask on, with the mask off. You had the vehicles, which all had some type of thing that they would do, you know, in their transformation, which made it fun to play with. A lot of them, if I'm remembering this right, a lot of them could almost move without you doing much. Like, you know, like we were talking about with the Jeep that kind of shot the little boat out.
Yeah.
Like,
now,
a lot of them.
No, I never had the Firecracker because the Firecracker was the Jeep, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never had that, but I did remember having Rhino, the semi, and what his did was I'm looking right at Optimus Prime, and I'm thinking, what the hell are those calls? His smokestacks.
Yeah.
Would, you know, you could move on the toy, you could move them down, and there, I might not be remembering this correctly, but I believe there was... you could put like little slim missiles into them, and somehow you could fire them.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of toy lines out there where the vehicles almost steal the show from the figures.
Oh yeah, no,
you know
not
what I mean?
At all.
And this one, you almost wanted the vehicles more than you wanted the figures, even though they all basically, I mean, a lot of them came with different things, stuff like that. And it, for those of you that aren't aware of the toy line at all, just to give you a perception, the size of the figures is about the smallest action figure you could have gotten in the 80s. It's smaller than G.I. Joe's. Like if you had to do I should make one up, but if you had to do like a size scale of toys in the 80s, you had Thundercats, which were huge. Their figures were very big. You kind of, you know, Transformers depended on the Transformer, but they're kind of in that middle range. He-Man was bigger figures. G.I. Joes are, you know, your standard Star Wars 3.5-inch figures. These guys are like, what are they, 2 inches?
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are very tiny, which has its good things and its bad things. I remember the good things for me was when we were playing with them, you could carry them easy. You could put a figure in your pocket and take them with you, and it wasn't a big deal. The drawback, of course, is detail. Like the faces of these guys don't really have too much of a detail because they're so tiny.
Cares about the damn detail on the faces? You can put the fucking helmet on them.
But they do also have good, you know, their knee joints bend, their arms bend. You know, they all have their little masks. So, I mean, they're really tiny figures, which makes them look weird when I have them with the Transformers, Thundercats, Silverhawks figures. But very fun to play with.
Oh yes, very much so. And I'm not even sure I really want to read this last thing on the toys, because this is just fucking sad.
It's awesome.
No, it's sad as the fact that they had to release it under a different line.
No, I think it's cool because what happened here, you got to kind of go through the history here, but what happened is Hasbro ended up getting the rights to all of Kenner's stuff.
Oh, okay.
And so Kenner obviously isn't around or wasn't around to do anything, but since Hasbro had the right, they're starting to kind of, you know, pay homage to a lot of these other shows, and I don't think this is the last time we're going to see it, but basically what he's referring to is last year, 2008, 22 years after Mask is canceled, a Matt Tracker figure was released as part of a G.I. Joe toy line, and they called it Specialist Tracker. And his file card states that Venom was created by Cobra instead of Contraworld. But I actually looked it up, and the figure, it looks very cool. They have side-by-side comparisons to the original Matt Tracker and to this one.
Mm-hmm.
And then they show it on the G.I. Joe card, and it even has the Mask logo on part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has a little vehicle with him. That's like one of the vehicles that another G.I. Joe guy had, the Iron Grenadier, which was one of Destro's guys or whatever, Annihilator came with this. But it's basically like a thing that he can have on his back that has a helicopter propeller, kind of like a jetpack.
Uh-huh.
But they did it so it looks like it's green and black, so it looks like kind of like it resembles the motorcycle that turned into the helicopter from the Mask series. But the figure looks very cool. I don't know if we're going to see, like, it'd be cool to see a Miles Mayhem that they released in the G.I. Joe line. I know a lot of G.I. Joe fans aren't necessarily thrilled that this Mask guy came out on the G.I. Joe card, but I think that's kind of a sweet crossover.
I'm sorry. That sucks.
First
of all, if Hasbro has the rights to all the Kenner stuff, why not release a Mask line? Why not release that? I mean, obviously.
Or maybe that's what they were testing. Maybe they were putting one out to see if people would.
Maybe, but I'm sorry. You know, unless it crossed over in the cartoon, this fucking sucks. I agree with the G.I. Joe fans. This is stupid as hell.
If you saw the figure, though, he looks awesome.
That's fine. The figure can look as good as it can. But the fact remains, they're mixing fucking stories. Fuck you, Hasbro. You screwed this up.
I like it. Keep doing it.
Anyways, shut the fuck up. Anyways, in popular culture, Robot Chicken episode Rabbits on a Roller Coaster had a sketch in which, after grounding his son Scott for holding a wild party at Boulder Hill, Matt Tracker developed an internet relationship with an overweight woman named Darlene. On their wedding day, Matt is shocked to discover that Darlene is actually Miles Mayhem, who only donned the disguise to know all of Mask's secrets and gain legal ownership of half of the Mask organization. The sketch ends by honoring the idea of homoerotic undertones in Tracker and in Mayhem's past. Robot Chicken, you bastards.
I haven't seen that, but maybe I'll have to find that up.
I'm not even going there. Not at all. Also, in 1987, it was not was nominated for a Young Artist Award, Exceptional Young Actors in Animation Series, Specials, or Feature Film, for Brennan Thicke, who played
Scott Tracker.
That is really cool. I mean, I know we've covered some shows that have been nominated, and some have won for awards like that, but that's actually cool because, you know, as we've said throughout almost all the episodes, you know, this show, even though it was awesome, you don't see a whole lot of it nowadays anymore.
And it's nice that it wasn't just necessarily like the most popular series. Like, it's nice that they actually took the time to look at a series like Mask to see if it was worthy of something like that for an award like that, and picked out the little kid that got his. I mean, I think that's cool. You don't see a lot of cartoons getting recognized unless they're like the most popular thing around. If that makes any sense.
Oh no, yeah, it makes a whole lot of sense. And we also must talk about the reception. Mask was named the 99th best animated series by IGN. They called it one of the most popular cartoon/toy marketing franchises of the 80s, and that it took many of the strengths of G.I. Joe and Transformers while taking few of its flaws. I do agree with that. 99th. I'm a little biased because I like it, but at least it barely made it in there. Unlike a certain other series which we discussed last week, which didn't make it in at all, thank God.
It would have if it would have came out before Thundercats.
Do what?
Nothing.
What'd you say?
I said it would have if it would have came out before Thundercats.
Oh, no, no. You just drop there right now. you know, that's just awesome. I wish Mask had held up as long as, say, Transformers, G.I. Joe, stuff like that. You know, franchises that have this 25, almost 30-year run. But then again, it only did go for two seasons, and, you know, it was a very specific show. It wasn't really, I don't know. So I think we're going to, I don't know what Steve's going to do. I may have him put some ads in between this final segment and the closing, and so this is at least the time that I can say we will be right back. Alright, well, that is all for this episode of Tooncast. Please join us next time when we will be talking about, what could this be? If you'd like to if you'd like to send any feedback, there are several ways to do this. First of all, do not demand stuff of us or else you ain't getting shit.
But keep listening.
the first is you can visit the geekcastradio.com website and comment through Facebook or just on the site in general. The second is you can follow us on Twitter. The name there for the show is GCRN Tooncast. Mine is TFG1 Podcast. And what's your Twitter?
What is my Twitter?
BossKDoc. God, you don't even use it that much. I wonder you don't really remember it.
I know. I'm not sold on it yet.
It's awesome. Join it. Become one with the Twitterverse. Anyway, the third is you can see our forum topics at PredaconEmpire.com/CafeSpark. The fourth is you can visit the Earth-2.net forums. We have several threads in the self-promotion section over there for Geekcast Radio. And the fifth is the email address, which is GCRNtooncast@gmail.com. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Professor Boss K-Dog. And before I go to PredaconEmpire.com. There's two polls up there. Vote that Scrappy sucks and vote that Silverhawks is better than Thundercats.
No. Vote yes for Scrappy rules and vote for Thundercats on the polls. So
let your voice be heard. I know more of you agree with me. Your voice be heard.
Bullshit. So in the immortal words of Optimus Prime,
Autobots, transform and roll out.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.